Today is Mother's Day. We want to let every mother in the audience know we're thankful for you and for all that you've done, and we want to wish you all a happy Mother's Day. This morning we read from Proverbs chapter 10, but we're going to spend a little bit of time in Proverbs and looking at some other verses here this morning. As we continue in looking at this, again, want to express my thanks for my mom, my mother-in-law, my wife as well, who is a mom. There's so many different ones that we can be able to express that. And as we think about here in the body of Christ, in our congregation here, we got so many mothers here that are represented. And we want to celebrate that day, you know, kind of taking a little bit extra special time to celebrate today. But again, as well, looking at a lesson from God's Word. And my title of the lesson this morning is Appreciating Mothers. And Brother Austin read for us from Proverbs chapter 10. We look at verse 1. Again, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise mother, or a wise son, makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. You know, as we think about this, it's the next day, special day for mom. But not just mom. You include grandmothers. You include those that may have been a mother figure to you in your life. To appreciate them, to cherish them. The Bible shows us about mothers, how we're to love, how to not to bring shame on them. You know, I think about all the different times in my life, how I didn't want to disappoint my parents. But there was always something a little bit more. If I disappointed my dad, I disappointed myself. But my mom, you know, I didn't want to disappoint mom even that much more at times. You know, think about how growing up and everything, and some of the choices that I made, you know, mom wasn't too thrilled about it. But it seemed like it hurt a little bit more. I'm not saying that dad was any less, but it hurt me a little bit more. So you got to meet my mom a couple of weeks ago for the first time and revisit with mom, so to speak. And she is a very special person to me. But I want to look at this morning in appreciating mothers. Looking in Proverbs, we'll look at some other verses as well this morning. But I want to begin off looking at Proverbs 31. If you'll turn in your Bibles there, if you're in the book of Proverbs, go over there to Proverbs chapter 31 with me, and we will begin looking at verse 10 and down to verse 31. Proverbs chapter 31, and beginning with verse 10, very last chapter in the book of Proverbs. Mothers everywhere are celebrated today. The Bible speaks of mothers and how they are to be appreciated. The virtuous woman that's mentioned here describes so many mothers, or even mothers-to-be as we have in our congregation here. It says in verse 10 of Proverbs 31, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She sends her hand to the poor, yet she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is a law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Virtuous woman, describes me. I don't know, you know, some people would go to some of these, well, this is how the woman's supposed to be, you know, working on. Things have changed. We see the aspects, the attitudes that are mentioned here. And I want to focus on those attitudes. Looking at how their husband, I'm blessed. I will speak for myself that I'm blessed. That I'm able to trust in Justina. And I hope as we describe our, you know, as husbands, we describe our wives, we'd be able to say, I trust in my wife. She is one that is working always, is what Proverbs 31 says. You know, the virtuous woman. She does what she can to provide for her family. Some others work now. And that is perfectly okay. And you know, we're thankful for their efforts that they have brought forth. And not only providing in that way, but providing for their family. Doing their part to be able to contribute in a way. Being able to help those who might be in need. We see her sacrifices she's willing to make. To make sure she makes her family, make sure her family is well taken care of. But above all, as we look at all this, of all the different types of things, the one thing as we kind of conclude looking at the virtuous woman is that, you know, again, a woman who fears the Lord is the one who is praised. We can think about Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. And how the focus of an individual is to fear God, keep His commandments. This is man's office. That describes one who would be praised, the Lord. The one who fears the Lord is one who is praised, the one who will endure. One that will be remembered for her works in the Bible. And I've been thinking about wanting to do this a little bit, and we could look at multiple examples of women in the Bible. Thinking about one who fears the Lord is one who is praised. Think about Ruth. Think about the mother of the one who wanted best for her child there in 1 Kings when she stood before Solomon and made her case known between her and the other mother who was the child that was still alive. You think about Mary. Think about Elizabeth. Think about Lois, the mother of Timothy. Eunice. All these individuals were immortalized for their faith and their good works in God. One who feared the Lord and one who is praised. But as we think about appreciating our mothers, the commandment, the command that was given was set under the Old Covenant and is still remaining under the New. You can consider over in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16 with me about the Old Covenant. The Old Law, the Ten Commandments as we may know them over in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Turn with me there. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Let's look at what the Old Law was. You know, again, the law for God's people. Here it's all laid out on how we were supposed to respond, how we were supposed to live, how we were supposed to act. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, it says, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So the Old Covenant, honor your father and mother. Then we look as we continue on into the new law, into the new covenant. We can look, for example, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Again, Paul right here, we see the new laws in effect. Well, he gives some instruction on how children are supposed to respond in being able to honor our parents. And we look in verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 6. He says there, to honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Speaking about children. We see both sides. We see where it is the same standard, the same wording. Honor your father and your mother, as in the first commandment and under the new commandment. Not much changed. We're talking about appreciating our mothers when it comes to how we're supposed to be as children. But I want you to think about it. You know, we just mentioned just a few moments ago about this, but how about your mother? And even your grandmother. I can remember growing up seeing my grandparents. Spent a lot more time with my mom's side family than I get to see my mamaw and papaw. And I can remember looking at them, and sometimes I would forget as a child that they were mothers as well. You know, my grandmother was a mother as well. I see it with my kids, where they're looking at and they're talking with my parents or with Justina's parents, and I'll hear the comment, you know, I was your daddy or your mommy's mom first, before I was your grandma. We may appreciate our mothers and our grandmothers. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, shows that for Timothy's mother and grandmother. If you look over, it's at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Or 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Look at you there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul, as he does a lot of times in his letters, when he opens it up, he shows blessing and he offers these blessings and kind of shows some words of encouragement to those. And in verse 5, and whoever he's writing to, and he's writing to Timothy here, and he's writing how he appreciates Timothy and his good work for doing the Lord's will. And he says here in verse 5, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Something that was true. And he goes on to say, which dwelt in your grandmother Lois. I got it backwards. Grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded, is in you also. The love for God that Timothy had been passed on from not only his mother, but going back to his grandmother. And we see the struggle that there was because Timothy's father was a Greek. We, you know, look at that and say he was a foreigner. In a lot of cases, he was not one that was a believer at the time when we get introduced to him. But we see the faith that was in Lois, went to Eunice, went to Timothy as well. And Paul was blessing not only Timothy, but both those women. And his appreciation was shown for those women. Mothers and grandmothers who take time to raise children. You know, my grandmother, she raised me. My mom and dad both worked. She took time, and I spent a lot of time out of the ground. Stina can say the same thing. And I look back, and I'm thankful for all that she did and instilled those principles in my mother, passed on to me. Same thing with Justina, where her grandmother had passed on her principles to her mother and passed on to her as well. And we're trying to pass on some principles to our children that we've received from our parents, from our mothers and grandmothers. I know so many have had an opportunity or blessing like this, and again, kind of looking at the idea of a legacy being passed on. But we could also look at how we're supposed to respond to older women as mothers in our congregation. Look, if you would, over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. We see the relationship of how we're supposed to look at our congregation, you know, the older women. And I'm not going to say what the age or anything like that, but what older women are to be able to be looked at as mothers in our congregation. As we look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 2, Paul says the older women, you're supposed to treat them as mothers. Younger women as sisters with all purity. Again, we see some of this where we are part of the family of God. You know, we say that a lot of times here at Norwalk, where we'd say we're together, we are family, we are one family together. We have a special relationship with one another. You know, you could look as well in Titus chapter 2. We see the help that the older women can be able to help us with, being able to do it as well, the older men. But looking specifically in our lesson this morning at this, we could look over as well in Titus chapter 2, verse 3 down to verse 5. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 down to verse 5. where we read here, the older women likewise, they should be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Again, we see the relationship. We see some of the work that our mothers do and our grandmothers do when we talk about in the congregation, in the body of Christ, to know more about being a wife. Because the older men are supposed to do this. When we talk about the women here this morning, to know more about being a wife. To know more about, we can be able to ask advice. To know more about doing God's will. It is an encouragement for each one to take advantage of it. Because Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 12, verse 49, there was that question of who is your mother, or who is your mother, your brother, and your sister. They said over here there was Mary, there was those other, those the ones that were born to Mary and Joseph. Well, he said, he who does the will of my Father is my mother, is my brother, is my sister. Being this true family of God, we see what we got to do. We got to be able to be doing God's will. What's the thing about this morning? Don't be foolish. Again, I can't tell you. Speaking for myself, there again were times where I was acting foolish. And then Mom would be upset. It just hurt that, again, it hurt that much more when I upset Mom. There's a different type of feeling. As Austin read for us, don't bring grief upon your mother. If you're going to act in a foolish way, you're going to bring grief upon your mother. And who wants that? I know I don't. I know none of us want that. How is one acting in a foolish manner? We could look over in the Old Testament again, this time in Psalm 53. Psalm 53 and verse 1. Psalm 53 and verse 1. We talk about, first our relationship in a congregation together. We ask the question of how is one a fool? Well, in Psalm 53 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable things. There is none who has good. Come on, how do we act in a foolish way today according to God? Well, we say that we show it by our actions that there is no God. Should not want to despise our mother. Again, I mentioned we'd be in Proverbs. Let's go back to Proverbs, Psalm chapter 15. And Solomon offers some wisdom here on both sides of the parents in looking at how we're not to do this to our fathers or to our mothers as well. But looking in Proverbs 15 and verse 20, it says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Sometimes we get those as father, you get those bragging rights. Or sometimes where it comes back and something happens to one of the kids. One kid's make a bad decision. I'm guilty of it. Justina does it too. Your child. Oh, the bear. You heard that one? Not doing that well in school. That is your child making those mistakes. But then when it's something good, oh, my child. We see the different things going on. We don't want to bring shame on our parents in any type of way. Do not despise your mother. Do not act in a foolish way. A foolish man despises his mother. That's not the way it's supposed to be. A wise child is made by honoring and listening to and obeying his parents. Again, going back to those principles that we read about in the Old Testament. As we know, wisdom comes from God. Wisdom has been supplied to us by God, that we may be able to know His ways, to know how not to despise our mother. God has shown us the way to honor, to respect, and to love our mothers. We need to take advantage of it and continue to take advantage of it by not bringing shame or grief upon our mother. Again, we read in Proverbs 1. If you go there to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. It's here. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Mothers have that voice of reason. My children will lean a little bit more towards your mother and being able to hear the instruction. And sometimes it can be a little bit more effective. You know, I keep on thinking about all the times when I was still living at home, when I was living with my parents. I had that voice in the back of my mind. It was always my mom trying to tell me something. Would you want to, if I'm thinking about, making a poor choice, do you really, I hear my mom tell me, do you really want to do that? And I'm hearing it, if I went home and made that decision, and then all of a sudden I come home, hearing it, not just in my mind, but hearing it with my mom actually saying it. Mom's trying to instruct us in the way that is wrong. You look in verse 10 of this same chapter. Not only are we to not forsake the law of our mother, but my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Moms are hoping that we will not be enticed with sin to make the right decisions in our life. Whether we talk about moral decisions or decisions of seeking and choosing God. Mothers want what's best for their child. Like the woman who almost lost her son. We mentioned her just a few months ago there in 1 Kings chapter 3. You can read the whole situation. You can read how Solomon got the wisdom at the beginning of chapter 3. And then look at the latter part of chapter 3 and see how that wisdom that he had gotten from God came into play when you had these two mothers that were together. And they had the one child that was dead, the other one was living. And one was saying, well, my child's living. And the other one said, well, no, my child's living. The other one belongs to that child belongs to the other. And Solomon, using the wisdom, said, give me that sword, remember? Let me divide the living child in half. That way one can be able to have half the other. And that'll solve the issue. And as we look at the story there, we look at what happened, the events that happened there with Solomon. The one mother said, let that child be unharmed. I don't want that child to die. And the other one kind of breathing threat. No, we need to be able to have it all be the same. Solomon uses what said that woman over there that wanted what was best for her child. That is a true mother of that child. Moms want what's best for their children. My mom taught me constantly about trying to be respectable to all people. She didn't like to offend people. Went to some extreme levels of not wanting to make people upset at times. That kind of rubbed off on me from time to time. Mom always taught me to be able to say yes sir, yes ma'am. Hold the door open. Do what you can to be respectable in many ways. And it's tough. It's stuck in many ways. Moms want us to be effective, but also moms want us to be a person of good reputation. And we see the value of having a good reputation or a good name. Over in Proverbs 22 and verse 1. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. Proverbs 22 verse 1. There's a good name. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good reputation, a good name is what mothers want from us. Mom's always told me she wanted me to be successful. You've probably heard that before with your telling your children or hearing it from your parents, they want you to be successful. And true success lies in the end of being a person of good reputation or a good name. But more importantly, being able to hear those words of welcome, enter into the joy of your Lord. That's where true success lies in the end. We can pass on our legacy as what Lois and Eunice did with Timothy. And we can prepare for that hope and promise of eternal life. This is what mothers want their children to hear. You've done well. But more importantly, we want to hear that from God. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, to enter into the joy of your Lord. And we got to seek to do the will of God. It's found through the scripture of what an individual needs to do to be saved. They need to be able to hear the gospel message. In Romans 10, verse 17, we read about faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You got to be able to be willing to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In John 8, verse 24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. You got to be willing to repent of your sins. In Luke 13, verse 3, as well as Luke 13, verse 5, Jesus said, I tell you, no, unless you repent, you all likewise perish. We've got to make changes in our life, is what repentance is all about. We've got to confess our belief. In Matthew 10, verse 32 and verse 33, Jesus said, if you are willing to confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. And you've got to be baptized for remission of your sins. We've got to seek to do God's will. Mothers want us to be able to have that, be the people of good reputation, be respectable. To hear those words of welcome, hear what you got to do to be able to enter into the joy of the Lord. This is what mothers want their children to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. This is the best place for you to be able to enter into eternal life. And based upon your confession, you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, but also remain faithful, remain obedient to God until death. The invitation is open for all who need to make their life right with God. If you have not yet obeyed God's will this morning and you're ready to do so, here are the steps that you got to do. Be willing to hear, be willing to believe, be willing to repent, be willing to confess your belief and be baptized. As you rise up out of those waters, we are a new being in Christ and we are here for each other to work together toward that hope and promise of eternal life to be faithful until death. Moms want what's best for us and here's what's best for us. An eternal place with God. Maybe this morning you realize that you have not been faithful to God and you need to make your life right with Him this morning. If that is the situation in your life, you need to turn back to God. You need to repent of your sins. And you need to pray to God for forgiveness. And we'll be glad to offer those prayers for you on your behalf to have your soul restored. Or maybe this morning you just need prayers of encouragement to continue to remain faithful to God. If we can help you, assist you, pray for you, do whatever we can to encourage you to make your life right with God this morning, why not do it now? Why not let it be known how we can assist you? All you have to do is have a seat on the front. You can do it now, walk together while we stand and while we sing.
Come unto me.